Hello and welcome to episode 73 of the Creating Happy Writers podcast. It's great that you're here, ready to dive into yet another episode about writing and publishing nonfiction. My name is Steph Caswell and I'm a multi-published author and writing coach on a mission to remove the overwhelm, the confusion and the frustration from the writing process and give you the confidence and the knowledge you need to pursue your writing goals. I'm also dedicated to helping more women write business-boosting books so they can stand out, earn more, and be known in their niches. If you want to learn more about writing or publishing your business or non-fiction book, you can do two things. Firstly, you can sign up to my weekly newsletter, The Write Stuff, full of writing and publishing advice straight to your inbox every single Thursday. Or you can grab a copy of my book, Dare to Write, which walks you step by step from your initial idea to published manuscript. It's available right now on Amazon and on my website. Links to both of those things will be in the show notes. Anywho, let's get started with today's episode, which is a topic that I feel impacts female writers more than we can possibly anticipate: our hormones. I'm going to just start by saying that as I record this, there is some, I don't know quite know what's happening in the local neighbourhood, but there's something which maybe sounds like chipping wood, tree felling, something. So if you can hear some background noise during today's episode, can I just start by apologising and hoping that it does not interfere with your listening experience any more than it absolutely has to. I wanted to talk to you today about this topic of hormones, mainly because it's impacting me greatly at the moment. And last night, I went to listen to Dr. Louise Newson talk at a local theatre. And she's on a book tour. And she was talking about how our hormones are affected as we go through our, well, all ages, actually, once we hit puberty, but particularly around perimenopause, menopause. And if you don't know who she is, she's an author, she's a GP. She was part of a Panorama investigation very recently, a few weeks ago, on the BBC. And I know of her, I have known of her for a number of years now. And one of my very good friends interviewed Louise over the summer. So I've heard her speak maybe about four times. And I was really intrigued to hear her speak just to an audience, which is why I went last night rather than being on a panel or being interviewed one-to-one. Interested because I wanted to hear her, but also because I am struggling, dear listener, with perimenopausal symptoms. And sometimes we can feel awkward, uncomfortable admitting it. Maybe it's a bit of a taboo subject still. Despite the work of people like Louise, despite the work of people like Davina McCall and Mariella Frostrup and lots of other people who are raising awareness of what it's like to be a perimenopausal woman. I am 43. And I must say, for the last 12 months or so, I have been experiencing hormonal changes. And what I wanted to do is talk to you about how that impacts me as a writer, because I don't think, perhaps, that we acknowledge how much our hormones can impact what we're trying to do creatively. And it's exhausting. It is exhausting trying to manage hormones, family life, hobbies, a business, just generally trying to exist from one day to the next. It's winter or coming into winter, and therefore that can affect our energy and our mood. I just sat there last night in the theatre and I began to think to myself, yes, my hormones have impacted me on a personal level, on a health level, but it's also impacting my writing. And I thought, if it's impacting my writing, it's going to be impacting the writing of many other female authors out there. So I wanted to do an episode. This wasn't the plan. I hadn't planned to do this episode. I just woke up this morning and thought, yeah, I really feel like I need to talk about this. So I this is kind of an off the cuff, might be a little bit longer than the 15 minutes that I promised myself it would be at the beginning of series three. But I think it's an important conversation to have, and I'm having it with you. So I hope you will enjoy it. I hope you will get something from it, and it'll give you some pause for thought. We'll give you pause for thought. There we go. got my grammar back. See, there we go. There's a perimenopausal sign for you that I constantly now seem to get my words muddled. But we will dive into my experiences a little bit more as the episode goes on. Today, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the symptoms that many of us are experiencing on a general level, but also what are the symptoms that are impacting writing or can impact writing, particularly what I've noticed, but also just from talking to authors I'm working with who are a similar age in their 40s, in their 50s, what are they experiencing and how is it impacting the work they're trying to do creatively with their books? But before I do any of that, I want to share a story with you because it was a story that I shared on social media last week. One of the things that I've noticed is that my anxiety has really changed and increased since being perimenopausal. I have had anxiety issues in the past. I left my job as a deputy head due to stress and anxiety. And I was at that point in my mid-30s. And I was on medication, anti-anxiety medication, and I worked really hard to come off it. Not because I didn't think that it was something that people should be on, but just purely personally, I didn't want to be on medication for my whole life. So I thought, no, do you know what? I need to look at alternative ways in order to manage my anxiety. And I've worked really bloody hard. And there have been ups and downs, but I've mainly felt pretty okay for the last 6 or 7 years. However, in the last year, I've started to notice my anxiety levels rising again. And I'm getting anxious about bizarre things. So over the summer, we went to Norfolk, my favourite place. And I was anxious for quite a while we were there, mainly because we were staying somewhere new. And I'm terrible at staying somewhere new. Now, I'm very aware of the impact language can have and the thoughts I'm having and the things I'm telling myself. But I'm just, for the sake of this podcast, I will use those absolute terminology. So I'm terrible at new places. So I can't sleep for the first few nights. I go to a hotel and I could be on my own. I could be with my husband and my family, could be with a friend. I can't sleep for at least the first two nights. And I will lie there as though it is the middle of the day. I have literally no sense of tiredness. I lie there and I ruminate and I worry about what if somebody breaks in? What if something happens and, you know, I can't get out the way that I am used to getting out in my own home? One of the things that is really prevalent, and I have only shared this, I think, with my husband, and I'm going to share it with you because I feel like we have to be honest. We have to be real. One of the things I panic about when I go into a hotel room on my own is that there's somebody in there already. And I have an overactive imagination, probably from story writing. I spend a lot of my novel writing time plotting people's murders. So that doesn't help because I have a big imagination when it comes to things like that. But what I have noticed is I will do a room check. I will check cupboards. I'll check under the bed. I will think carefully about where anybody could possibly be hiding before I go to sleep. And I will lie there for a long time listening for noises. I've never done it to that extent before. I've always been someone who's not really enjoyed sleeping in new places, but this is like next level madness. So that's something that I've noticed I've started doing and that I can't often go away on my own without feeling a bit nervous. But last week on social media, I shared my experience of being on a packed train. I was coming back from London and it was about 5:30 in the afternoon. So it wasn't even a late, well, if it had been late, it would have been perfect. So it wouldn't have been as many people, but it was commuter time. It was a Monday. It was 5:30, classic commuter time. And I live about 20 minutes on a fast train outside of London. This was not a fast train. This was a stopping service, which took about 30 minutes, 35 minutes. Not a long time in the grand scheme of things. I've lived in the house I live in right now since I was a baby. So I know this journey really well. Not a new journey, not a new train. Knew where I was going, was perfectly happy. Got on the train and I started to panic that I couldn't get out. And it was extremely, extremely busy. And I was pressed up against the bin, of all places. And if you've been on a train, you'll know those kind of bins that sort of attach to the wall. And I was sitting in the bin at one point, but it was so busy. And one of the things that I've noticed is I'm not claustrophobic. I was just about to do a Gemma Collins impression then about not being claustrophobic, but I stopped myself. I'm not claustrophobic, but I am suddenly now more aware of not being able to get out of a situation. And there were so many people, I couldn't see the door. So I started to freak out in my head. And I had to really work hard on my anxiety reducing breathing technique. And I came off the train and I felt wobbly, I felt sweaty, I felt a bit teary. I thought I was going to have to get off earlier and just have to just calm myself down at a station that wasn't my home station. But anyway, this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. So these kind of random symptoms that have come seemingly from nowhere. I am really, really keen to support people who are writing at this stage in their lives because it's a shit time for a lot of women in their 40s and their 50s. As you head through perimenopause and menopause, it is a time of immense change, of immense emotional challenge. And I believe that a lot of the women that I support are going through this kind of thing. And I'll talk to them about it. I talk to the authors that I work with in Write 90, the group program, or individually. We talk about it. We talk about how menopause and perimenopause is affecting us. So this episode really comes from personal experience, but it also comes from talking to authors. And I just thought, we're not talking about this enough. And I feel that it's an important topic. So I just want to just very, very briefly run through, in as simple a way as possible, what is happening to us at this point in our lives. I promise to keep it simple, and I promise to keep it relevant to you, the writer. I want you to think of your hormones like a finely tuned orchestra, an orchestra that's been playing together for decades. Estrogen and progesterone are your lead performers, and they've been following a pretty reliable monthly schedule since your teens. Now I'm going to add in there testosterone, because those are the three prominent hormones for us women: estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. But during perimenopause, which typically starts in our early 40s or even late 30s, this orchestra starts playing a rather unpredictable tune. Our estrogen levels begin to fluctuate, sometimes quite wildly. Sometimes they're high, sometimes they're low, and they can't really make up their mind as to kind of what they're going to be doing. They're just erratic. Progesterone gradually decreases, and that is why we suffer with sleep issues and mood problems. The rage is what I'm going to say. There are two things that we typically need, not the rage. We typically need good sleep, and we need to be in a good positive mood in order to write. This doesn't just happen overnight. Okay, so if you think about this orchestra that's been playing together, it's kind of knows each other, it's really, really in harmony, and then all of a sudden everything starts playing out of kilter. It's like a gradual transition that lasts up to a decade before you go through actual menopause. Your body is trying to learn what the hell is happening. Why all of a sudden we're not playing the instruments in the way we were, we're not playing in time, we're not in harmony anymore, we're just all over the shop. This can affect us on so many different levels, physiologically, so physically, but also mentally and emotionally. It can just explain, sometimes when we try to sit down to write, things just don't come as easily, as quickly, as comfortably as they maybe once did. And this is what I've noticed. I've been writing now for 10 years, 10 plus years, I actually think it is now, thinking about my children's novels. It's a long time. And then you notice stuff happening. And it makes it tricky because there's no predictability. One day you feel like this, another day you feel like this, and you feel tired and lethargic and yuck and irritable. And then another day you feel productive and really on it, and the words are flowing and you feel really good. And it's just this constant up and down, that is so exhausting. And it's not our imaginations. It's not something that is playing a trick on you. It really is just our bodies going through this bloody annoying but essential part of transitioning into this next period of our lives. So some typical symptoms, and I'm sure if you are struggling right now, you don't need me to tell you, but there are over 35. I believe actually in the recent research, there's actually coming up to 100 different symptoms, which is bananas. But here we go. So physical changes that you're going to, you know, might experience: hot flushes, night sweats, irregular periods, joint and muscle aches, changes in weight, headaches, fatigue. And then we've got the mental and emotional shifts: brain fog, memory changes, mood swings, dare I mention the rage again, anxiety or worrying, ruminating about things that you've never worried about before, which is exactly where my anxiety has gone. I'm exactly in that position. I'm ruminating about the bizarrest things, but they are so prevalent that it's so hard to ignore them. And then there's people with depression and low mood. Again, very common. We have disrupted sleep. We have energy patterns that are all over the shop. This morning, being a prime example, I woke up and I'd had a pretty all right sleep actually, because I do struggle with sleep and I do wake up in the night very often and can be awake for a couple of hours. But I'd actually had a pretty decent night last night, but I woke up exhausted. I woke up as though I'd had a terrible night's sleep. And the first 2 hours of today, I genuinely thought, I just need to go back to bed. I need to go back to bed and go back to sleep. And it's Monday morning. How can I be? I can't be doing that. I have to be, you know, focused and getting on with stuff. But it's so tiring to have these conversations with ourselves all the time. And then you might find in the afternoon that you're absolutely crashing out with energy problems. And then there's the heart palpitations, the digestive issues, which I also struggle with, low tolerance for stress, or as I like to say it, low tolerance for bullshit. Hair changes, itchy skin. I mean, it's just endless. And I'm only highlighting a few because if you're yet to experience any, I just want to share with you the range of symptoms that we can struggle with as women. But also that if there are these loads of symptoms, one that I found out last night, which my sister was with me, tinnitus. Tinnitus is a menopausal symptom. Who knew? And she's got tinnitus. She leant across to me and she said, "Oh my God, I've got tinnitus. I didn't realize it was menopause related." She's older than me. She's 47. So she just was like, there are so many things they're now finding that are linked to menopause. It is astonishing. But listen, I want to talk to you about your writing and your hormones. I'm going to say to you that the most common thing that I have problem with is brain fog, where the word is there and it falls out of my head. Falls, just as though it was, I can see it and it goes like a wisp of smoke. And I had it and it goes. And as a writer, if you struggle with this like I do, it is the most annoying thing for my productivity, but also for my enjoyment. I write and I'm getting to the end of my sentence. I can see the end of my sentence. I know what I'm going to say, and then gone. In a heartbeat, no idea what I was going to say. It was like the word never existed or the sentence never existed. And it's really, really stressful. I also struggle with, like I said this morning, fatigue, tiredness, and not having the energy to write and feeling frustrated with that, thinking, God, 10 years ago, you were knocking out these books like there was nobody's business. And now look at you, it's taking you ages. Very frustrating. Mood swings, well, hello. But the mood thing, and I know I talk about rage, and so many women I've spoken to in the last 6 months talking about the rage, but it's also about your ability to be kind to ourselves, about imposter syndrome, about the inner critic. All of those can be amplified by our hormone levels and how we're feeling around confidence and self-esteem. And again, can impact then us sitting down to write or publishing our books or talking about our books. We've written the bloody thing and yet we don't talk about it. It's just one of those things that it's yet another thing that I have to talk about. But also I find myself thinking, oh gosh, what do people really want to hear about it? And of course, the rational side of me knows that they do. So again, it's not just mood as in low mood or varying mood. It's also about like the kind of the confidence thing and the willingness to be seen and judged and all the other stuff that comes with writing. And then the hot flushes, my God, that can impact writing. Because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you feel like you're on fire, like you're it starts in like sort of my chest and my neck, and I think, oh my God, I'm feeling quite warm. And I'm typically, for my whole life, I've been a terribly cold person. I have to sit in blankets and I'm ridiculous. Now I'm sleeping in shorts and a t-shirt in autumn, which is nutty. But last night I woke up and I had a hot flush in the night. If you're having those disruptive nights, you haven't got the energy in the day to write, or you could be writing and get a hot flush and you have to get up and move about and strip off. And it's just, it is honestly so unhelpful to the writing process. Other writers I know of have muscle and joint pain. So for some people going through menopause, muscle and joint pain is an issue. And if you're writing, you're sitting all the time to write, or you're typing and, you know, all this kind of stuff, our shoulders can get aches, our back aches. I had a random knee issue the other day and I had to get up and walk it off. It feels like it's attacking from all angles. And I'm really keen to go into this next stage of menopause feeling empowered and knowledgeable and knowing the best things to help me. And I am going to start HRT. I just can't help but think, what are we doing as a community, as a writing community, to help each other? And this is why I wanted to talk about this today, because I just want to reach out and say, listen, I hear you. I see you if you're struggling with this, because it's literally impacting me on a daily basis. So let's talk about working with your body during this time, not against it. And writing a book is such a big undertaking, and adding perimenopause into it just is another thing that we're having to consider, as well as running a family, running a home, helping aging parents, running a business, you know, all the shit that happens with being a woman, with being a business owner, with being a parent or a child who's caring for parents, whatever it could be. There's so much going on, isn't there? And I just want to give you some things that I think might help, because I'm trying them out too. And yes, HRT, I'm an advocate for HRT. There's a lot there that you can do to find out about it. And I'm not going to talk about it because I'm not an expert. But I want to talk about, what else can we be doing? What can we be doing to empower ourselves to go alongside hormone replacement if you decide to do that? But also, what can we be doing as writers to really give ourselves the best chance of this not impacting us at such a high level? So the first one is embracing rest and energy management. Now, let's normalize rest. Like I said this morning, I wanted to go back to bed, and actually, I could have done. I need to stop thinking that by going back to bed that someone somewhere is going to tell me off, or, you know, that I'm going to get a medal for staying up and going and doing some writing. No medal, sadly. I'd like a medal. I'd really love a medal, actually. There's no medal. There's no prize for exhausting ourselves. So let's normalize rest. If we need to stop and close our laptops, and this, listen, let's be frank here. This is about writing, yes, of course, but this is a podcast for business owners who are writing. So if you're a business owner, let's put this blanket, shall we, across writing and being a business owner for these next few minutes, because this applies to writing, this applies to business. So rest. Rest is so key, and that's where boundaries come in and self-compassion comes in and kindness comes in. We write and perform at our best in any area of life when we're refreshed and not forcing ourselves through the lethargy and the fatigue and the weariness. Like, if that means certain times of the month, which it does for me, I'm tired, then do you know what? I'm going to have a rest. I'm going to shut my eyes for an hour and have a snooze, because I will come back better because of it. The other thing I want you to think about in terms of energy is this writing sprint idea. And I do wonder whether this has really served me in the last few years, because unbeknownst to me, maybe at the time, I didn't have the energy to sit for hours and hours and write. So that's why the 30 minutes has worked for me. Consider doing that kind of thing, shorter sprints, giving short bursts of energy and resting. If you're experiencing sleep issues, which lots of us do when we're going through perimenopause, try and think to yourself, try and keep a log, like, is there particular times of the month when it's worse? And if you notice a pattern in your cycle, is it that you maybe don't do any writing the following day, or that you don't have any calls the following day? I mean, this does take work. It does take mapping your cycle out, but I think it can really, really help. keep a little journal of your energy patterns so you can go back and think, okay, here's a pattern emerging. Because unless we do that, we can't take control. So that's kind of embracing rest and energy management, noticing our energy. The second thing is nutrition. Protein is your friend right now, especially for maintaining energy and clear thinking and feeling full and nourished. You may not eat meat, so there may be other ways that you can increase your intake of protein. But having worked on a podcast, the biggest health podcast in the country and in Europe, you will be surprised what I've learned about protein in the last few years and its importance in our diet. So protein will help. Have protein-filled snacks as well. It's something to keep us on an even keel. It stops the dips in energy. Have something nearby, you know, something where if you are feeling peckish, that you know is going to actually be nutritious and helpful. And listen, I am all for having a biscuit with my coffee if I bloody well feel like it. But there's also the point of how can we maintain even sort of feeling of a full appetite, a full energized body, and protein is the thing. Stay hydrated, keep water next to you, just keep sipping. I'm somebody, and I learned this ironically from the woman who is in charge of WWE, Stephanie McMahon. I think she's still in charge of it. I listened to her on a podcast years ago, and she said she's not very good at sipping little and often, and actually she is better at having a bottle next to her and every so often having like a huge drink from it and then nothing and then another huge drink. So it's up to you, whatever works, but keep hydrated. And the other thing I've learned from the podcast is with listening to two sleep experts, Professor Russell Foster and Professor Matthew Walker, was the fact that caffeine, try and limit your consumption after midday. I just drink decaf if I'm going to have a coffee in the afternoon. So bear that in mind because that can help with the sleep. Number three. If you have memory fog, brain fog, where the words slip away or you can't get clarity, that is very common but frustrating in all aspects of life. But again, let's think about writing and business. Take a deep breath. Now, I didn't do that for dramatic purposes. It just happened to work out very handily that I took a deep breath before that sentence. Please remember, this is not a reflection on your capability and your knowledge and your expertise. This is our brains and our hormones. It's just the way it is. It's, as I said to you, the most frustrating part for me is not being able to remember what I was going to say, or walking into a room and not remembering why, I can't remember why I went there, or I'm talking like I am now, maybe I'm giving a masterclass or I'm talking on the podcast and I can't remember something. Instead of staring at a blank screen, there is the option of recording. So send yourself a voice note, record a voice memo, talk your ideas out rather than writing them out, because sometimes it just takes the frustration out of not being able to finish typing the thing. And have a notebook, have your app, your notes app, if that is applicable to you, somewhere where if a thought comes to you, write it down. Anywhere where you can recall it so that you can go back to things. I have the Trello app on my phone. I'm constantly adding things to my Trello board that come to me because I know if I don't, I'm going to forget what they were. It's frustrating and annoying, but actually we just got to embrace it and think, okay, for the time being, until I get my hormones sorted, I need to do it in this particular way. I need to make notes. I need to have post-it notes. I need to have Trello app. I need to have my notes app, whatever it is. Just think to yourself, you know what, just save myself from feeling really, really stressed. Have something where you can write things down as they come to you. And sometimes you've got to think, actually, is today the day for this kind of task? And if it's a day where you're feeling tired, the brain fog is at its worst, then stop and go and don't write today. Or can you reschedule something for today? Because I think the more we aim to push through and to refuse to allow ourselves some grace and some kindness, the worse it's going to be. So it might just be that you need to build things around your cycle or build things around the way you're currently experiencing your hormones. And if we do that, if we do tend to be kinder to ourselves, then we don't feel so frustrated. We've just got to accept that this is the situation and just try and give ourselves some leeway, give ourselves some opportunities to just go at the pace we need to go at. And sometimes movement can help. Sometimes Tony Robbins always talks about this. I'm not a huge Tony Robbins fan, but he does. If you've not seen the Netflix show, You're Not My Guru, I do suggest you watch it just because it's insane in terms of the amount of kind of energy that man has for what he does. But one of the things I took from it was how he changes his state before he goes on stage. He bounces on a little trampoline. And he bounces for, and then he just goes onto stage because he's changed his state from being perhaps sitting and nervous and worried, which I can't imagine he is very often, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He's nervous and worried, and then he bounces on the little trampette, which is called a trampette, it's a mini trampoline, and then he will walk on stage and he's changed the way he's feeling. And sometimes we might not feel like jumping on a trampoline, but even if we just walk around the block for 10 minutes or just walk up and down stairs a few times or do some stretches, something that changes how we're feeling emotionally by changing how we are physiologically. Number four is around adapting your writing environment to help if you're going through this kind of perimenopausal phase. Creating a comfortable, inviting space is so important. I'm going to do an episode next week on writing spaces because I've been writing about it in my book and I'm really enjoying it. Having something that is conducive to how you're feeling right now can help. So it might be you need a better chair. It might be like me where I've got a bit of a strain injury from so much typing that I need to have my desk at a certain way so my elbows are supported. It might be that you need better lighting. It might be that you've got a fan nearby. If you have a hot flush, you can just turn the fan on and sit back and just let the fan do its thing. Just take some deep breaths. No, it's just about making this period of time as comfortable as you can. And then perhaps it's about maybe thinking to yourself, do you know what, I sometimes need a standing desk, or I need to do more dictation by walking outside and just dictating my ideas into my phone, but going for a walk. It's trying to think about how can you make your writing space really, really helpful and supportive, also inviting. Like, is it that you need to have your, just make it look nice? I know it sounds really, really not helpful, but everyone likes their spaces to look a certain way. And I think if we can think to ourselves, what makes me feel happy in my space? I like to have a blanket. I'm in the cabin at the moment. I like to have a blanket. I like to have a heater on. I like to have like some fairy lights. I haven't sorted them out yet, but I've got them. I like to have some fairy lights up in here. I like to make it make me feel good. And it's the small things that can actually have a real impact on how we're feeling. Perhaps on a day where you're just feeling a bit rubbish, like curling up under the blanket with a hot water bottle, if you've got, you know, period pain or whatever it might be, just to make it a time where you're nurturing and nourishing yourself. And finally, I just want to talk to you a bit about the bigger picture, because we've talked about quite specific things, but this is a time in our life where I really believe that the big difference we can make to how we go through it is our self-compassion. And being kind to ourselves about goals and deadlines, particularly in business and writing, if you need to extend them, then do that. If you need to take longer to do things, then do that. You'll be surprised at sharing, what sharing can do. If you've got a team, if you've got a VA, if you've got an editor that's waiting for your book, reaching out and explaining the situation is so powerful, because we're able to be honest and transparent and say, listen, I'm going through this right now. I really appreciate your support and your kindness. It's so unlikely that you're going to meet someone who's like, no, sorry, no compassion. And if you do meet someone like that, then perhaps they're not the right person to be working with, or perhaps they're not the right client for you, whatever it might be. But I do think people are far more accommodating and kind than we give them credit for. So just be honest and talk about it. The more you talk about how you're feeling and how it's affecting you, the better. As I said earlier, perimenopause can last for up to 10 years before you actually go through menopause. You will be menopausal until you die. And we have to take that into consideration. We have to make adaptations and changes to how we live our lives. We're not always going to have the symptoms, thank God, but the symptoms can last into menopause. So once you go through menopause, the average age in the UK for a woman to go through menopause is 51. So it's no wonder that people in their early 40s are experiencing perimenopausal symptoms, because a decade before, that would equal up to a decade before to be your early 40s. Some people start in their late 30s. And if you think when you're 51, you will have your day where you've gone through, you know, menopause officially, because you've not had a period for 12 months. And then you still have some symptoms for up to sort of maybe 5 to 6 years after that. So we're in this for the long haul, my love. We are in this for the long haul. And the more that we can start making and taking considerations now and looking after ourselves, the better. This will pass. And that can apply to a hot flush, where you have to sit there and think to yourself, this will pass at some point. And this also applies to menopause. It will pass. It may be 10 years from now, but it will pass. And all we can do is just try our best to cope with it and to embrace it and not be too unkind to ourselves in how we approach it and giving ourselves the benefit of the doubt. I just want you to know that we need to be in this together. We need to be supporting each other, caring for each other, loving one another in this very, very awkward, emotional, stressful time for a lot of women. If you are somebody who is struggling, please know that I absolutely resonate with how you're feeling. I want you to know you're not alone. I want you to know that this community is here for you. And as a writer, from one writer to you, another writer, I want you to know that it's okay to make this time work in the best way you can. You don't have to push yourself to the extremes. You just need to love yourself enough to think, what's right for me right now? One more thing. Don't think these symptoms mean you're losing your edge, or that you are no longer an expert, or that the memory problems, the brain fog, the hot flushes make you any less of an incredible woman. I think what it does is that it makes us even more incredible, because we're having to go through this time where it's yet another challenge, isn't it? It's another challenge that we have to face and that we have to go through, and we have to try our best to navigate. But don't be alone. It's a major transition. And your writing and your life can adapt around it. It's just taking the time to find the right support, the right strategies. And when you do that, it can actually be a time of growth and a time of exciting change. And I'm absolutely here to watch you do that, to watch you become the woman that you are going to become in this period of time. And I'm here for my own self. I'm here to watch how I grow and I develop and I change, because I know that's coming and I've already started it. I've started changing. I go from one extreme of emotion to another. You know, I can watch a video on Instagram that makes me cry because it's somebody, you know, some terribly emotional video, and then the next minute I'm roaring my head off, or vice versa. So just, I think we have to just embrace the woman that we're becoming. And I want you to know that there is help out there, and there is so much that can be done. It's just going to be a bit of a slog and a bit of a shit bit for a bit. But I want you to know that you're not alone. And if you want to talk, to just reach out and say, shit, Steph, I'm with you, girl, then you can do that. And I'll be happy to talk to you. But it is an important topic for writers, for female writers out there. And perhaps not enough people are talking about what perimenopause and menopause is doing to us creatively. And I think we need to talk about it more. So I hope it's given you some insight into how I'm coping with it, but also some food for thought around what can you be doing to really embrace this part of life and get yourself into a good frame of mind. Until next time, happy writing.